We're back for another episode of Bridging the Gap. Today, obviously, you're going to notice that my co-host is not here today. She's fighting an illness, but we're going to continue on. I hope she feels well, and I'm sure shortly she'll be back. So I'm going to miss her and all that good stuff. Today, we're going to dive right into it. We're going to talk about some things through iKalia, and we're going to have a good conversation. I got some friends down from the state of Ohio, which I'm always happy to see. But we're going to start by introduction. So I'm going to start with John DeJournet to my far right. If you can tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, and how you got here.
All right. Thanks, Darren. Yeah, as he said, I'm John DeJournet. I'm the chief of staff here at UC Public Safety. I've actually been here for 11 years now. Came in 2015. I actually came to UC when my daughter went to college. When my daughter went to college, I went with her. And so she's since graduated and got her master's degree from UC. So I had some skin in the game when I first came here as far as safety concerns. And I'm still here, and she's long gone. So you
came for the tuition remission yourself too, huh?
A little bit of that was one reason, for sure. That was a very nice benefit that UC blessed me with. So, yeah.
No doubt. My next guest.
I'm Ed Burkhammer. I am the Director of Law Enforcement Services for the Office of Criminal Justice Services under the Department of Public Safety. A long title. But I'm a retired law enforcement officer, and I oversee a couple of statewide initiatives that involve our local law enforcement agencies across the state, and we created the Ohio Collaborative Law Enforcement Accreditation Program, which we're here to talk about today.
You know, Ed, with a long title, which you just said you had, comes a lot of responsibility. So I take it you got a lot of responsibility with that long title you got, huh?
But it's good responsibility, right?
I love it.
It's a passion. It's something I love to do. I'm blessed, and honestly, I have to say this, right up front, is we're blessed. We're all here because leadership at Public Safety and in the governor's office, Governor DeWine, are supporters of this, and has pushed us all to take place and allowed it to take place. You know what I mean?
So, I totally agree with you.
Yeah,
totally agree. Charity.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. My name is Charity Duddy Wingo. I am a program manager on Ed's team. I've been given the opportunity to work with UCPD directly and their accreditation, and so I'm excited to work with them.
See, Charity, I would have got your last name wrong, so I'm glad you said your last name.
I went hyphenated when I got married, so it throws everybody off.
All the viewers know I butcher a last name, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Nikki.
So I am Nicole Haber. I am the Clery Compliance Specialist with Public Safety. I'm the only civilian, and I've been here it'll be 25 years in December. So.
That's awesome. You love it?
I do. That's why I'm still here.
I had to ask that question. Well, we're going to dive right into it. I'm kind of curious that this UC's gone through an accreditation process like this before. Can you tell me a little bit about the history of accreditation here at the university and the agents? What are we getting from this? What's the agency gaining from this, John?
Well, that's a good question. I like to try to get people excited about accreditation. Sometimes it's hard, but I think if you look at it this way, especially from our audience, the University of Cincinnati is accredited, right? The university is accredited, and that's part of what gives the degree some oomph behind it, right? If you say you got a degree from the University of Cincinnati, what does that mean, right? Well, if you're accredited, that means there's rigorous standards about how we're teaching and those kind of things that gives your degree that push behind it, something behind it. And the same thing with hospitals. A lot of hospitals are accredited, and the same thing goes for that, is that, if you got a choice between sending your loved one to an accredited hospital or not accredited hospital, which one are you going to choose, right? And it's the same thing. There's rigorous standards about how they clean their surgery tools and just everything about it, the leadership and how they operate. And so with that being said, accreditation for police agencies is similar in the fact that there's an organization outside of the organization itself that develops standards, it's best practices in the game, And then they bring those standards to your organization and say, if you want to be accredited, you have to adhere to these. And so the key thing, part of it is that you they have the policies that address things like training and use of force and all these different areas of law enforcement. But then you also have to prove it, right? You can't just say, well, we have this policy that says we do this, this, and this, and close the book. You got to show and demonstrate that those things are occurring in the way you say you're going to do it.
Now, who comes down and checks this policy? Is this so in-house or?
They have what they call assessors mm-hmm. that come in, and those are the people that come in and kind of lift the hood and look underneath and check the paperwork and look at your vehicles and look at your facilities and all that kind of stuff to make sure that it's not just a check the box. It's actually someone that comes in and out from outside your organizations and verifies what you do. It's kind of that inspect what you expect
right.
idea.
So I don't know if I missed this or not, but how long has the university had this accreditation? Has it been for years or has it been a short period of time?
So we were accredited by an organization called IACLEA, which is the International Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators.
That was a test for me.
Back in 2019, we got our first accreditation. So that was obviously something we were very proud of. And then we got reaccredited back in 2023. So we've been reaccredited one time as well. So we've got a few years of experience now, and it's become part of our culture to adhere to these standards. And that's a good thing when you achieve accreditation, but really the test is, can you make it part of your culture and the way you do business?
Right. Now, are you doing this, or do you bring people in like Nikki to help out, or is this a collaboration of the whole department?
Yeah, so I was designated as the first accreditation manager, and since then I was promoted to chief of staff, so I've been wearing kind of two hats, but yes, I've part of my... As a leader, I want to be part of development of our staff. And so Nicole is fantastic. She's our Cleary, as she says, she's our Cleary compliance specialist. And what we want to do is make her the accreditation manager and Cleary manager. So, but it's a development piece. She's fantastic at what she does. She's our expert in Cleary. And so soon she's going to be our expert in accreditation as well. And she's been fantastic. So, but yeah, so we... Like I said about culture, too, I'll throw this in real quick, mm-hmm. that we have developed, you know, with my investigations lieutenant, with my community engagement lieutenant, with the property room manager, all those people, they know what's expected of them now in terms of accreditation, and now it's pretty much a well-oiled machine in terms of they know what we need for accreditation, they do it, they achieve it, and so... Early on, it was kind of like holding their hand and that kind of thing. Now it's just, again, it's become culture. It's the way we do business.
Now, Nikki, if I can ask you real quick, UCPD, what do they hope to gain from this? I hear that he's bringing you into this fold, correct?
Yes.
What is one thing that they would like to get out of this whole thing besides recognition?
Well, making sure that we are doing things with best practice. We want to show everybody we're transparent. We're doing what we say we're going to do,
mm-hmm.
And just making sure that, you know, when we have a policy, we are backing it and saying we actually are doing this
right.
to show.
Oh, I get it. I totally get it. And you doing Cleary stuff, actually, we're going to have a show with you just by yourself because I know that's a different ball game.
Sure is.
Because when I got through the university and I came here, I didn't know what Cleary was. Somebody had to sit me down and be like, what is this? So... Ed, can you kind of jump in and kind of help me out with the whole overall, with the accreditation and stuff like that? It's, how do you see yourself fitting into this whole thing?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for saying, he talked about culture. Culture is so important and people overlook it. So I think you can tell leadership when you hear someone talk about culture because it's one of the most important things. But so accreditation is, you know, a little bit in Ohio. Ohio did not have a law enforcement accreditation program, which, you know, those of us in law enforcement, if you think about it, when we get into the field, We go to an academy. We get a Ohio Police Officer Training Academy certification. We have to do certain things to maintain that certification. But there's no requirement for agencies to maintain certain things. They're very few, right? They're very random. And, you know, there is national accreditation available, but only about 5% of the agencies in the country, law enforcement agencies, are able to meet national accreditation, and for a variety of reasons. And a few years back, when I was trying to create this program for Ohio, that's one of the first things, you know, leadership in Ohio realized, like, we don't have this available in Ohio, and it's really needed for our local law enforcement agencies. And as a state, we look at ourselves as kind of that support network to the locals, right? So we started talking about how that would look, and through some other networking, I've been in several places around the country, and I looked at what they were doing in other states and nationally, on the national level. And I saw what I thought they were doing well, and I didn't think they were doing so well.
Right.
And so then we did a national survey to see what are the barriers. If a law enforcement agency wants to get into accreditation, what are the first barriers you face? And the biggest three results we got were cost, time, and personnel. You agree?
Mm-hmm. When you say cost as far as...
So there is a financial cost to being in an accreditation program. Mm. So they're all a little bit different, but some require you have a membership fee. Some require a membership application fee. Then there's an annual fee. Pardon me. Some require that you have a dedicated staff, which is then a salary component.
Okay.
Right? Salary and benefits component, that they have to be dedicated to that position. And then, if I didn't mention, annual fees. So you're constantly paying for that. Then John mentioned the assessors. So assessors are at an expense. So that is the expense of the locality to pay for that. So you have assessors come from somewhere. Some come from across the country, so you're paying their travel, per diem, and rate for them to come in and evaluate and assess your agency, right? So, I mentioned it. Our leadership in Ohio understood that we can create a program like that, and we can follow the pattern across the country, or we can do it differently and do it bigger and better. So our first priority is it's free.
And that's where I was going to get to, because when you said it comes with a cost, you know, the smaller departments, they're going to struggle with that cost. So I get it that we're very blessed at the University of Cincinnati because we're a university and we're thriving and all that good stuff. But for the smaller departments, how does that impact them, Charity?
I mean, we're readily available to them. We're not only offering the program for free, the operating system that we use to manage their files is free. That was started development on that, 2 years ago? And as I was hired on 2 years ago, so I kind of seen that all the way through. We do agency visits. We do the one-on-one, help agencies through. Any other accreditation program, that's going to be a cost, again, associated with that. We're given that opportunity to do it anytime that we need to or the agency needs us to within, you know, our availability. They can call us. I mean...
I got great. You.
So, I mean, and we offer the same services from the very smallest agency with one person that we do for 700-800 people.
Okay.
So it doesn't deviate.
That kind of hit me when he said cost, because I know I left a small department and they're in shambles, and you wonder how they can kind of afford all this stuff. Because I know John and his staff does a great job at the university as far as bringing people in, and mom and dads and students and faculty and staff. They should be proud of this because this is something that lean their hat on. So what's the unique?
Can I add one more thing about costs? Another thing that can be a cost is facilities. Because there's standards, you know, like, for example, property rooms is a big example where, you know, we know how important it is when someone has evidence that it follows the chain of custody to get to court. You know, if it's evidence against me, I want to make sure that it was, you know, handled properly and all that. Well, there's a lot of standards behind that, the security of property and that kind of thing. Well, you know, if you have to do those things to build a secure property room, that can be some cost associated with that. And one of these accrediting bodies say, if you're going to have a property room, you need to do A, B, C, and D. Well, that's, you know, that's cost. So it could be cost of personnel, facilities, that kind of thing, to at least be at that standard. So that's another potential cost issue.
Didn't realize that. What makes your program so unique in comparison to other states?
Well, a lot of things.
Brag a little bit. This is your turn to brag.
Listen, I mean it when I say I really did a deep dive into what's available nationally. And one of my other positions, I serve as the president of a national organization called AccrediNet, and that's actually represents every state director in the country that runs programs like we have. And so I have a good, you know, inside information to what's going well in their programs and what's not. And I'm going to go right back to, again, cost. So mm-hmm. the very first burden that Ohio's leadership erased was the need to run it as for a profit. Like, we don't have to do that. And so we eliminate those costs right away. The other thing that they have done, this is unique, is that, again, my bosses don't get in my way. And they let me, I have all these crazy ideas we come up with when we're out there and she's talking to an agency and she's, to your point, the small agency, she's talking to a small agency and they don't have, their property room is in shambles or whatever it is.
Right.
And they don't have resources. They just can't write a check to fix this.
Right.
We provide the resources to fix that. And we have created a network across the state at no cost to them.
That's big.
And,
that's huge.
And that's expanding every day, by the way. We're still, we're not sitting on our laurels. We're growing these resources every day. Charity and her teammates' position is extremely unique in this country. So an agency could hire an outside person who's a subject matter expert to come in, hire, cost,
right,
and have them come in and give you advice. We provide that at no cost to the agency.
So Charity has her own team?
She's a member of the team. No, this is part of the team. So
okay.
So the program manager, Charity gets assigned to an agency. So UCPD is her agency in our eyes.
Gotcha.
And their job, they're building this relationship that if we can help, we don't say no. We don't say, here's the book and this is the limit of our resources. We come in and we say, where can we help and where can we go with it? Now, before I forget, I want to comment that what we get back is this is a partnership with UC. Okay, so this is not just us coming in and doing this. We're going to learn from them. We learn from every agency we deal with because they're unique. UCPD is unique. You're a university, mm-hmm. police department, large agency, and you're talking about small agencies. I'm a believer that I don't care if you're a police officer in a 5-officer department. Our citizens deserve to have a great police officer.
Absolutely.
Right?
I agree with that.
Not just a UC accredited police officer, whatever village, township, city in this state. You deserve to have a good police officer. And we also owe a debt to our police officers. We hire them, tell them we're going to take care of them, train them or protect them, and then we fail in that in a lot of ways. Right? Wow. So this is a way to give them guidance as well.
And the special thing you said about that is we have a lot of kids come from a lot of different places at the university. Mm-hmm. So some are already terrified of law enforcement in general when they get here and they don't trust us. Mm-hmm. So what you just said is huge. I mean, putting the number one person out there to handle these situations is why you guys come into play and kind of help us with that whole thing. So that's huge. I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. John, you once again, you talked about, you know, having this relationship and building this relationship, and you and your team, Nicole, you guys kind of work on things. What's the hardest thing about doing this whole accreditation? Like, when you work with your team, is it?
I don't know that I would say anything is hard. Sometimes it is difficult to help people understand because sometimes you can feel like people can get in the rut of, well, let's just check the box. And one of the examples I like to illustrate is several years ago when I got involved in accreditation, one of the requirements is that you do an annual use of force review, right? And it's not just every use of force gets investigated and looked at on a one-on-one basis, like, you know, was this justified? Did we use the training? Did we adhere to policies? All those things. But most agencies wouldn't take a global look at the end of the year and say, okay, we had seven uses of force and, you know, this many was, you know, use of this weapon and this was that and this, you know, and what was the racial makeup? Was there a trend? You know, anything that we can do for training, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my stories I like to tell is when we looked at a global look at uses of force, we realized that when we had injuries and uses of force, you know, a lot of people think it's going to be like, you know, using an ass baton or pepper spray or tasers or all this stuff. It was actually in a takedown. So an officer or a citizen was hurt in a takedown. And at the time, it was interesting. You know how many how much training we did on takedowns when we were doing our use of force training?
Uh-oh.
Zero.
I knew it was coming.
Right.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, as leadership team, we look at that and we say, okay, this is clear that this is where people are getting hurt. How can we change that? And so we immediately implemented some takedown training, how to do it safely, so that in those moments when that happens, hopefully citizens, like he said about the best police officer showing up at the scene, he's trained in how to do a safe takedown, and hopefully he or she's not getting hurt, the citizens are not getting hurt. And we hopefully, when we look at when we do our use of force review the following year, hopefully that number has come down, and that's how we say, were we effective, you know, and that kind of thing. And that's the spirit of accreditation is, okay, we do a lot of good things, how can we do it better?
Right.
And I think that's sometimes the difficulty to convey to others that, you know, that's why we do what we do. It's not a check the box, it's to do better.
So when I first got to UC, that takedown that I had was not appropriate, I take it, huh?
Probably not
the one.
Knowing you, Darren,
okay.
Yes. We got some work to do.
I was just checking because I thought it was a great takedown.
That's why there's another thing in accreditation called remedial training.
I hear you on that. And no, by the way, I did not do a takedown. I kind of rely on my verbal cues to get me through things. So, Charity or Ed, how many agencies have you accredited in this program? And how many are currently in the process of getting accredited? And I know that's a broad number
easy,
to throw
actually.
Out there.
So this is so we run the certification program as well. So certification was created, and we actually started certifying agencies in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
It was created by executive order in 2015. And then, but we didn't actually start the accreditation program until 2 years ago under Governor DeWine. And so we have gone at lightning speed in the creation of it, the development of it. Like, I mean, we didn't even have a staff that was able to, you know, do it at the time. So I was, you know, we were creating the program and writing out what we needed and doing everything and hiring people at the same time. And I was very picky about how we brought people in. But in that time frame, so since 2024, and I'll tell you, it was March 21st of 2024, we had our event with Governor DeWine. That was our launch. So here we are, we're less than 24 months later. In our phase one of our accreditation, we did 10 agencies. We kind of tested the waters with 10 agencies, and we picked them from around the state. And they're from various backgrounds, various sizes, various resource allocation. So we wanted to make sure, our goal has always been, make this program fit every law enforcement agency in Ohio that has the culture that is willing to make change. Right? And if they're willing to try, we're willing to try. So we did 10 agencies in that first phase. And then we have now at our November board meeting, we had 6 agencies reach accredited status. And then next week, actually, we have 8 more agencies going before the board. If the board favorably votes for those 8 agencies, that 6 from November and 8 from this next week will be on the stage with us in April. We run an annual conference, by the way. It's called the Pathways to Excellence Summit. And it's called Pathways to Excellence because we are belief, and we're constantly on that
vision.
Pursuit.
Okay, it was his vision,
you guys
huh?
Talking about your vision.
We're constantly on that pursuit of in your career, in your personal life, in your family, you should be on a career of path to excellence, right? And that's something that we strive for. And we also realize we're never going to achieve perfection.
Right. But that's the goal.
But that's the goal. And you have to be open to it and change. But that's, so the long story to your answer is, So that'll put us at 26 agencies. And in the process, we have quite a list. I think part of it, one of the things I'm most heartened by is that leaders like this all over the state are reaching out and saying, come judge us.
Leaders like, oh, John DeJournette.
This
oh, okay.
guy over here.
Okay.
This
I just wanted to be clear. Sorry, John DeJournette, yeah. Chief like of guy, Staff.
This guy, but I mean.
Okay.
But I do mean that. We have chiefs and sheriffs from right. all over the state. We have lieutenants, sergeants, patrol officers reaching out and saying.
Every day.
We really? Want our department to be great. And I say it means a lot for an agency to open their doors to criticism that they don't have to open their doors to.
That's
and
awesome.
That's leadership to me, right? And I'm so proud of Ohio's law enforcement because if we go back 10 years, this was also – it was a different atmosphere. And, you know, we had our number of leaders across the state who felt like that. But I think in today, in 2026, we have a overwhelming number of law enforcement leaders who want to be great.
That's awesome. I mean, that's something that you want to hear. And don't get me wrong. I know we joke all the time, but from our chief all the way down, Chief Elliot Isaacs to John DeJournette, all the way down to the patrolman or security, I think everybody wants to lead. And that's but they get it from the top, though.
Yeah.
So, Charity, what's the number one thing? I know we may be running out of time here, but what's the number one thing that you love about your job? Like, what stands out? I mean, something wakes you up every day and says, hey, I want to do this.
The agencies I work with. Absolutely, hands down them. I develop these relationships with these agencies, and they're my friends. They're not just, I work with this agency or that work with that agency. It's the relationships that I get to build with these agencies all over the state. I'm fortunate enough to have agencies from a 5-man agency to a 1,000-man agency. So I get all different perspectives and develop different relationships with different agencies, and I love that. That's my very favorite.
That's beautiful. John, I'm a parent. We're going to wrap this up here. And Kelly used to get on me a lot because when I say I'm wrapping it up, that means another 10 minutes. So, I'm a parent of two daughters who goes to the school here at the university. And I know we talked about a lot, accreditation and all this stuff. What, if you're talking to me as a parent, what's making me feel so good about this whole picture of accreditation and everything that you guys are doing at the university and working with the good people at the state? Like,
yeah, it kind of comes full circle to what I started with, you know, when I talked about a hospital or, you know, the university and that accreditation piece is just, you know, if you're sending your loved ones out to, you know, you're trusting us with your children when you send them to college, right? And so you want to know that the people that are out there looking after them are just top quality. And so, you know, that's what we try to be, is that top quality. And I do get it because, like I said, I had a daughter that went here, and, you know, she was out, you know, at parties and, you know, all the things that college kids do. And so I wanted, you know, it was good to know that there's officers out there that are fully trained and on the lookout for any indicators that where her safety might be compromised. So that's what I would say.
Ed, Charity, anything you would share with the good people at the University of Cincinnati as far as faculty, staff, and parents?
You know, I'll reiterate that they should be proud. I'm also a parent who sent my kids off to college, right? And I had these fears. pardon me. I had these exact same fears. And I think it means a lot to a parent that shows that as a university, you take it seriously, that you realize you're taking on their kids, their most precious item, right? And crime can happen anywhere. But we have to give every resource to be the best police department we can be to not only protect them, but then on the other side, we also have to give our police officers the best chance of being good police officers, right? And if we don't give them that proper guidance and support and take care of their mental wellness, with some things we didn't do in the past, comes out of accreditation, all that creates that culture and an environment here that's better to safe place to put your kids.
He said it all, huh?
He said it all.
He said it all.
Yeah.
Nikki, you excited about all this? I hear you're going to be the one that putting a lot of the stuff on here at the university.
I'm excited.
So.
I'm glad and eager to add to my resume of what I can do. And there's a lot of organization, and I love my organization. So
I've seen you work, and you do a lot too. Don't get me wrong. You stand out.
She's fantastic,
no doubt. And that's coming from your leader. So we appreciate everybody's time today. And like I said, I know you guys are coming from Columbus, and thank you for coming down. Safe travels going home. Definitely want to say thanks to 1819 Innovation Hub for having us today to talk about all the good things that IKALIA is doing and the way the university is taking off in so many different directions. So we love you, appreciate you. To our fans, thank you for watching, and tune in for the next time.